Disaster Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters.
Okay, welcome everybody. We are we're gathered at the Presentation Summit. We're literally around a round table with a group of presentation experts, and we are going to have a great rambling conversation. I'm Troy from TLC Creative Services, based in San Diego, California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz, and I'm visiting from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
And I'm Lori. I'm with TLC Creative Services and from California.
I'm Tom Howell from Synapsis Creative, and I have come over from Sydney, Australia.
Yeah. I'm Rick Brett Snyder. I'm homeless. No, I'm a retired Microsoft designer, developer, used to work on PowerPoint.
I'm Echo Swinford. I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana, and I own Echo's Voice.
Hi, I'm Julie Terberg from Terberg Design, and I'm out of Michigan.
I'm Doug Thomas. I'm not retired from Microsoft. I work at a Microsoft office in Redmond, Washington.
Mike Parkinson, owned Billion Dollar Graphics, just outside of D.C.
I'm soon to be retired, Glenna Shaw from South Carolina.
And I am Heather Ackman. You might remember me from videos on Pluralsight and newly lynda.com. So, yeah, I own my own business now, AHA Learning Solutions, but I still work for a lot of different companies. We contract out a lot of different videos. So.
Okay, so should preface that we are gathered in Clearwater Beach, Florida, where it is extremely humid, and we do have the air conditioning in the background, so we're all... Okay, so what I've done is I've got just a list of kind of fun presentation questions, and I'm really curious, so everybody knows this is completely unplanned for everybody. They don't know what the topics are, and these may go in many directions, hopefully good. So the first one I thought would be really fun is, because there's been so much of an evolution in PowerPoint, what is a favorite feature that PowerPoint's added this year that you've made use of?
I think one of the favorite features that they've just started launching is the 3D capabilities in PowerPoint. I think that's going to really revolutionize product markets. It's going to revolutionize architecture. I was speaking to someone in disaster recovery who said it's just going to change the way they present. So I think that's going to change a lot of different markets.
I'm gonna take one that nobody else wants, because I really have been enjoying the fact that autosave is working so well and OneDrive is working so well. And together, I haven't saved a presentation in a long time and I haven't lost any work.
Nice. Wow.
That's awesome.
Well,
okay, so my favorite thing is that I can, in the size group, I can tab from the height to the width and back.
Oh, yes.
That's a good one. It's so silly.
That is actually really huge.
I've been stoked that my clients that love Prezi, I'm doing stuff in Morph with Morph, and they're just like blown away.
All right, steal mine.
Sorry. It is spectacular. I'm learning what it can do. It's more powerful than I imagined.
I would just add on to that. I've also been doing presentations now using Morph that are so much more easy to flow. So it doesn't feel animated any longer. It now literally just feels like it has a video-esque feeling to it as you flow through your slides.
Does that count as your favorite feature?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm on the Morph group.
Do you find in that, though, that...
Wait. You can't distract. We got to get everybody else's favorite feature. Oh. Otherwise, we'll never get around.
I'm listening.
Oh, you're listening. What's your favorite feature? Come on. What do you use, Sandy?
Oh, I just jumped in.
Something that's new to Insider Fast is we get to advance videos on Click.
That was going to be mine as well.
Yes.
Is that I've been begging for this for
years.
You
have. I didn't mean to steal
that. No, it's perfect. You put in a video and it's part of the animation pane in the animation sequence.
And that's actually in the Insider Fast.
Yes, it is.
We'll see what the final wording ends up being.
No insider information.
So it's not trigger and it's not automatic, it's just an animation click. Clicked.
Yes. Okay. It's now not a trigger. It's part of the animation.
You used to be able to do it as an
option. Manually,
right.
Yeah.
And I think you still can.
And also create a substitute shape that would appear on Click and then after. But it was complicated.
Right. But you can still do it, and it's not going by default. It's not going to go by trigger now.
Yeah.
See, just Sandy's really cool because her favorite new feature isn't even in the public yet. It's just in the advanced fast insider group.
Oh, yeah. I'm cool. Sandy's an early adopter. Public.
Early adopter, yes. You know that. Or just finally reveling in the fact that a pain point has been removed.
Yes.
Favorite features?
Well, my favorite feature that I've been playing around with lately isn't even really a new feature. That's not even with Office 365. It's actually an add-in or a plug-in, if you will, that comes with Visual Studio. It's the storyboarding add-in. And
you like that, huh?
I love it. I use a lot of shapes. I make my own shapes and my own icons, really, you know, through shapes. And I want to save them in my presentations and reuse them in future presentations. And I use that storyboarding plugin all the time. And I save it to that board.
That's the one that brings up the little pane with your library stuff you created.
Yes. Yeah. And you know,
that's cute.
And I recreate that all the time, especially with gradients. You know, I put overlays on those photos all the time. And I just create a bunch of those gradients, save them to the storyboarding tab. And I just pull them in now from that storyboarding tab, and it saves me so much time.
It's really cool is that goes with your login, so you can move it from one computer to the other, but you can't move it to somebody else's computer, which is a problem. Shortcoming.
Well, yeah, not a problem, yeah. But that really has changed my workflow.
Opportunity.
Yeah. It really
Listening
has changed my workflow.
You know, I don't hear a lot of people talking about Zoom, which I think is an amazing feature, but I don't know anyone who's using it to its full capacity. Like the way that we were demoed in the beginning of Zoom?
We have used it a number of times. The biggest problem we find is backwards compatibility.
Exactly.
That is the number one problem. And as is with Morph, it's literally not backwards compatible.
I think Zoom actually elegant.
Fade, yes.
Zoom does have a good backwards, and it just becomes a fade. You kind of lose the Morph effect, but at least it continuously works where Morph in a legacy is just a bad fade.
It is a bad fade.
It's like a black splash fade.
Jump.
It's awful.
And, yeah.
Hopefully over the next year to two, we'll see more.
By the way, you can use Zoom with 3D models. It's pretty darn cool.
Yes, you can use Morph with 3D models.
Oh, yeah.
Which just gives you transitions.
That's really cool. Phenomenal.
Yeah, so we're playing with one where I had a 3D model as my Zoom click-on element. And the slide you went to was an auto advance. So it went to that slide, and then the 3D model morphed around on you as a slow pan, as kind of an intro time period with the text up there.
We've,
Would you like some wine, Joe?
We've, as a test in our studio, we got a map of Venice in 3D, an entire map of Venice in 3D. And you can click on areas, and it will zoom into that area.
Okay.
So you create hyperlinks based on slide numbers, and then you create all of them as morphs. So you can actually zoom into a specific area, and then on click, you can zoom out to the main map. So it creates a sort of hybrid, hyperlinked, interactive 3D.
It's almost an app.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Map charts. That's another thing. Yes. Maps. Made me think of this. Map charts.
Not tree maps.
Not tree maps. Map charts. Yeah. Like when you put in geographical data in Excel.
Choropleth. Sorry.
Yes. Choropleth.
Choropleth chart.
Yeah.
Can I just say one thing about those?
If you hold the microphone up, you can.
Recently, that came up with those. You cannot use one of those maps without it showing
the attribution
to Bing at the bottom. You can't get rid of that.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So you can use those cool map charts.
Cool white box over.
Those choropleth maps. But it has to have the Bing attribution at the bottom, which really is bad for corporate. They aren't going to want to see
that.
That's
an interesting question. It has to be, Microsoft has to compose it with that attribution. Do you have to use the attribution?
You can't take it off.
Did you sign an agreement you would not take it off?
You can't take it off. There's no way.
You can put something over
you can cover
it.
I would question the legality of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you download an image from the internet, in a similar sense, that has attribution on the bottom, and you covered it,
but
you may be open to some serious liability.
If you downloaded a vector art, all that's saying is it generated the map data from
There's
Bing.
There's nothing that says anything about rights.
Yeah, it's nothing about
it's
rights.
An
so,
yeah.
So I'm thinking that you can cover that up, just like a vector map.
I think I'd like to remove it.
Google Analytics and stuff like that, they do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Sneaky.
Yeah.
So because you didn't go on the internet and get that, Microsoft provided
it
through
the
interface, and you didn't sign anything saying you respect that.
To know what Vector Max look better anyway.
The other thing that came up recently in some conversations in the guild about those maps,
they're ugly,
was that it sends your data to them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And in some corporate situations, they're not allowed to do that.
I don't believe it's anonymized data, but it's saying sure it here's is. What things have been utilized.
Well, my clients would freak. DOD, ain't happening. Nope.
Oh. There's Office add-ins that let you pull in and do the Core Plus maps. But I think they send it out to the web, too.
Yeah, I have to do more research. I've been just using Vector.
Okay, Doug, we've got you here as well. I know you're not on the I use PowerPoint every single day as my career path, but give us a favorite feature because you know all of them.
Yeah.
Which is the favorite one you've talked about with somebody?
Well, you guys have talked about everything I actually use, so I'll just say Galaxy Pen.
Sparkle Pen.
Unicorn.
You use that every day, Doug. I know you do.
Every chance I can get.
They made so much fun of me. I was so excited to get Sparkle Pens.
And they all, no.
No.
There are not many practical applications.
No, it's, I did. One of the reasons they did it was that's what kids want. Yeah. That's what they want to do.
Yeah.
3-year-old grandson used it.
Yeah. So
I totally
there's a 3-year-old in me. So Galaxy, it's far better than the lava pen.
The fact that you know what they are says volumes.
Or okay, I did a video about it, one of the two.
I have one for you. The new accessibility features. I think those are...
Oh, wait. You got it, because I may have a different opinion. Which ones are you talking about?
Well, I'm especially talking about the video captioning one.
Okay, video captioning is very cool.
Because that one just...
That is so cool.
I know the alt text is what's going to be an irritant for you.
What about the sounds, the new I'll notify you, sound notifications? Yes, you can.
You must.
Can we talk about how bad the alt text is, though? I've been doing screenshots.
No.
And it's telling me it's a picture of a cell phone. Come on!
I put something on a table and took a picture of it and said, wood grain.
I find it entertaining.
There is that.
It's like a joke while I'm working. What's it going to say this time? Like
the image recognition sucks. It does. But the nice thing is, when you put a picture in, it pops up and says, add alt text to this.
Yeah, I find that a wonderful reminder. I think it creates awareness for people who just don't think about accessibility. And I think that is the important issue. Most people don't remember to add things like alt text. Most people don't know what alt text is. And I think that's more important, is creating that awareness.
But the new video captions are like real.
Yes.
Video captions. They're open or closed. You can turn them on or off. That's totally new.
That's really cool.
That is amazing.
That's a big improvement. And it's a smooth interface, too.
Yes, it really is.
Okay, so.
Okay, there's my piece.
Direction here.
One more.
Oh, one more.
I was just realizing that. When did icons come in? When did the...
A year ago.
I hadn't been using them at all until recently, and I love and hate them. I love that it's so easy. I hate the fact that the collections that are in there are so limited, and you can't search.
The other thing is you know that they are going to become so... Like, they're already I'm not using those because every...
Yeah, well, I'd love to see Noun Project integration.
They did. No, they
really?
Haven't added.
They haven't added.
But it's not through the icon...
No.
It's not through the icon tab.
It's a separate search.
Okay, I've heard you guys mention Noun Project many times. What is it?
Icons.
Awesome. It's just a stock photo of icons.
Okay. It's like stock... Yes.
Well, it actually expands further. It's a vector.
Or 50 bucks a year.
SVG or PNG.
And there's just everything.
And you can search for them.
Yeah.
And so the Office add-ins, when you do the My Add-in, Noun Project has an add-in that they just came out.
Heather, you should just go to the Noun Project and you'll probably lose about a day.
Yeah.
Oh, really? My gosh.
Yes. I've recreated this. Awesome. Like any icon.
But they have libraries of them, too.
Right,
so if you wanted a whole collection in one style, you get them from that artist.
Yeah.
And the meta tagging is quite good. Yes. It's not perfect. It's quite good, though.
But I think that the icons in Office 365 are going to become like clip art.
Everything is updated with you.
Definitely. But it's just, it's so easy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and the, I mean, I believe the add-in is something I should be using.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's...
Well, you have to pay for it. You know, no, the Now Project is a subscription. So, you know, that's... The good thing is this is available for folks who just have Office 365.
Right, great. Right.
But are they going to update it?
They should. It should be constantly being updated and throwing new stuff.
What's the file format on those?
SVG.
Isn't there a history of having libraries within Microsoft of not being updated?
Clip art.
Word art.
Wait. How about
even the shape library?
Fish fill. The fish fossil fill.
Yeah.
The textures.
Well, they still have the canvas and the yeah. The
fish fossil. Okay. Hold on. Redirecting. Okay. So, to tie this in with a previous episode, we just did one about alternative presentation apps. So I'm just kind of curious around the table, and it could be yeses or nos. Does anybody utilize or has used within? Let's just give a time frame of the last year. Any other application besides PowerPoint desktop? So Keynote, Prezi, Haiku Deck. It could be PowerPoint Online or PowerPoint Mobile. It could be, oh my gosh, we just did the episode, Sandy. Where are some of the other ones?
Ludus is one that I'm on a beta for. I haven't had a chance to use it, but it's a new one that's out.
What about Slide Rocket?
Yes, that would count. Have you utilized it?
No.
Slide Shark operate their own. Yeah, Brain Shark. Slide Shark. You can edit.
Yeah, we actually authored everything in PowerPoint, put in there for the, it was an HR one. Okay, so that one doesn't count. Did anybody else see? I've used Keynote. Okay, I just finished a large Keynote project.
I've used Keynote. I've dabbled in Prezi because I had one client who really wanted to use it. But the Prezi guys are going to make some training available to Presentation Guild members to help us become Prezi experts if we're interested. So I'm actually really looking forward to that. There's a lot of really neat stuff going on in that space. And they've just introduced charts, which is very cool. So I've been dabbling in that. This Ludus thing, I signed up for the beta, but I haven't actually used it. Ludus, I believe. I'll have to send you a link. And then I've used Canva a couple times, but not for presentations. Yeah. I've been using it for greeting cards.
Hmm. Yeah. We made a comment about Canva.
I think they do beautiful
stuff. Yeah. Well, they were more, we were kind of describing them in our thing. They're more of a slide content generation as opposed to a presentation.
Right. I have to raise my hand and say that the folks at Canva are doing an incredible job at teaching folks about good design.
Oh, yes. The blog is
amazing. They're training.
Shout out to the Aussies
they're
there.
Training.
Yes. Yeah.
I love the Canva design school. It's really good.
They have an awesome blog.
Yeah, they do. Totally agree.
I almost used Prezi a couple times. But
wait, let's clarify. Did you almost use it, or did you talk the client out of it?
Well, I feel guilty, but yeah, we use Morph, and they could edit it, and it was completely usable for them.
I feel guilty for that.
They wanted to use Prezi. Hold on, I got prefaces. They wanted to use Prezi. They liked the effect, but they also wanted to make use of this content through their corporate library stuff. So Lori convinced them to use Morph, of which she designed at least 70 beautiful slides, and how many did they actually use?
Five. I have a really good sample presentation now. I just have to scrub it.
How long do you guys take to sanitize your... You have to scrub it. How long do you take to sanitize a deck for...
We have a backlog of probably about 3 years worth of stuff. You know what I really want to look at, though, is I want to look at Rick's son's add-in. I'm very curious.
It's already spoken.
Wait, tell us what it is really quick.
Okay, so I got to talk about my son because he's my son. I got to brag on him. So I put my son through school to be a game developer, and he's gotten more work doing PowerPoint add-ins than he's done building games. He's built games, but he hasn't. So he's done a number of tools for clients that I've had who wanted to do weird stuff like tag replacement in presentations and a thing called the footer pounder, where if you've taken a bunch of slides from multiple decks, put them all in, and the footers are a mess across, it'll reset all the footers across the whole presentation.
How does it know what a footer is? Now I'm more curious because you could be taking business away
from
us. It's
code. I don't know. I don't ask him how it works.
It's code. I don't know.
The client was happy.
Come on, Echo. How many jobs do you get where you just have to go through 300 decks and just make all the footers consistent?
None.
Oh my gosh. We do it like daily for all the medical things. Just really? Make update all the footers. It was the anonymized one.
I'm getting to the anonymizer. So we did
Neo Ipsum.
We did Neo Ipsum. We did the Neo Ipsum for PowerPoint, which is taking all the non-standard Ipsum character sets, and basically, if you have like a design, a layout in your presentation, it will fill the whole presentation with Ipsum text. But it does Ipsum text. It does hipster Ipsum. It does movie quote Ipsum. It does sci-fi Ipsum. It does all these different variant Ipsums. So when we were done with that, somebody on a board said, "This is great. Could you make it so that it would replace the existing text in a presentation, so that I could scrub out the private data?" And we said, "Yeah, we can probably do that." And so I've got a new version that there's one feature that is missing that I can't distribute it because it's actually a data loss situation. We know how to fix it, but he just hadn't fixed it before. But it goes through and it will do the current selection, the current slide, or all slides in the presentation, and replace the text in everything except charts with Ipsum text.
Tables?
Tables, yes.
And what about financials, numbers, as opposed to text?
They get really interesting.
Okay. That was my first thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be PowerPoint tables. That's not
going to
be like
a... We're looking for feedback and determining that something's a number and replacing it with a new random number.
Well, since I just heard about it, actually on the plane ride down here, I was listening to the Ask the Experts Presentation Guild because I missed the webinar. So I was actually listening to it, and you mentioned it, and I actually made a note that I have to follow up on this.
I have a new version. I'll probably find some time to show this weekend or this week.
Okay, new topic.
But since we did talk about it, he is roll2d10.com is his website. ROLL number 2d10.com.
He needs an easier.
It's gamer, dude. It's roll2d10.
What does it mean?
It generates a number between 1 and 100. It's D&D.
Oh.
Dungeons and Dragons.
That's why he needs a new. Nice.
Hey, we're not in this, and we're in this to make people happy, not to make money. You fascist capitalist dogs.
How do you make people happy when they can't find
indeed.
You?
Maybe that. Okay. Two-part question. So the first one's going to be, what's a pain point you've experienced or seen in using PowerPoint or Keynote? And the second part is going to be on our second one is. So that's in editing, designing a slide. Like, what's something that just really you wish could be better? And the second one's, what could you wish could be better while you're or if somebody's presenting? So what's something that you wish you could do easier, more efficiently, is not available in PowerPoint?
Let me count the ways.
Okay, I'm just gonna go with mine. Is I really wish we could do video across slides. I know there's a technical limitation, but it is a pain point in so many areas and so many people I talk to. Other pain points.
I wish we could preview our text editing better.
Oh.
Paragraph styles.
Yes.
Yeah. How about fix the fonts once and forever, please? Thank you. Why? How come I can save a PDF with fonts and I can distribute that PDF with fonts and anybody who gets that PDF can edit that PDF even if the fonts aren't present on their system, but I can't do it with a PowerPoint file?
I'm sure we have to talk to a very large legal team, but it is such a pain point.
But didn't Microsoft and Google announce some sort of partnership a year ago?
A couple years ago.
Where is it gone? They were going to fix fonts for
us. It's the one thing that keeps PowerPoint looking like PowerPoint.
Okay, pain points in editing or designing.
I'd like to be able just to sort a table.
Oh, that's an interesting one. That's time-consuming pain.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to generalize here. The same functionality that I get on Windows, I like on the Mac. I like to be able to embed fonts, etc. My one that
never
I...
Never embed a font. It's just caused so
well,
many problems.
Well, good. It's good to hear. But then I'm like, here's Arial again. I know there's safe fonts, but there's limited safe fonts. Okay, all right. So... Well, that's what I've been doing. I'm converting to vector if I have to. But then, you know. Anyway.
You lose legibility.
Exactly. Right. And,
But for the designer, that's like, ah. The other thing is replace non-theme fonts. Colors. So this Power User, have you played with that? Power User has a new app. You can search and replace colors. It's not very intuitive, but at least the functionality is there. So let's say I have vector art and I want to change everyone to East Indian or something, a different complexion. Then I can search for all of the skin colors that's there, whatever they are, and then switch them out pretty easily. That's awesome. I could do that with Power User. It took a little bit of finagling.
I think we need you to demo that for me because I definitely haven't figured that out.
Sure. And it's a little hidden.
Okay.
But when I found it, I was like, oh, what? That's the noise I made.
Can you do that again?
Do it again. Yeah,
he can on demand.
It's too bad this isn't a video. I got
pain
one.
Points. Okay.
And it's a feature I love. It's a feature that's probably the most popular thing on my blog, but background removal is entirely broken now.
Yes.
And it used to work kind of okay. And then they finally did the thing where initially it'll try and do the whole picture. And now it's just totally busted. Oh, I don't know what's, and that's one thing that I try and remove photo backgrounds whenever I can, and I'm just having to drop back out to Photoshop to do it.
Yeah.
Well, Well, the frame was okay. They just need to make the frame wider,
full size.
Not halfway.
Bounding box, yeah.
It's deeper than that. Yeah. It's way deeper than that.
This is probably bigger than a big pain point in it. As a designer, how many of you have worked on websites or print pieces and your client's great? Okay, send that to print. Okay, let that website go live. The difference with PowerPoint, as we all know, being in this business a long time, is they get your PowerPoint file and they start messing with the slides. And they mess with the slides. And then they expect you to fix what they've broken. After all these years, how come we haven't found a way to lock a file from editing,
Amen.
But still have the animation capabilities on the client end
Amen.
In the PPTX version? Or some other, give me another extension, I don't care. But lock it from editing. Oh, see, Rick? See, you know, because everyone thinks that they, 3 billion people or whatever, billions of people have Office on their desktop. So that all makes them capable of editing the file. But then we're stuck fixing their mistakes later. But they're not going to edit the website. They're not going to edit the corporate website. And they're not going to edit, you know, the print files or whatever.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to go, because I totally agree, by the way. I thought you were going to go with, why can't we track what they did? Because we, what do you guys call it when you have a file and the client, we call it version control.
That's what we call it.
Okay. And,
I don't want to talk about
okay.
this is turning into a therapy session.
Isn't there a function to do that?
Well, in Microsoft Word, you have track changes. And we don't really have a track changes option in there.
No.
Now, what's
we
really
have a
interesting
compare.
Is when you're doing when you're doing a collaboration, you can actually track the changes better than just working on a file back and forth. Because the collaboration tool will actually say, hey, this person did this, and you actually have a history to see it. I think it's actually
SharePoint, because SharePoint has versioning, which is fabulous.
Which would kind of explain why it's an online collaboration, is an online, you're putting the file on the cloud, so it's basically leveraging the SharePoint stuff, you think?
I think it must be. I mean, I love SharePoint's versioning because I can tell exactly who did what, number one. And I can go, oh, you messed my crap up, and go right back to my stuff and just blow theirs away. And I do it all the time, quite frankly.
I don't want to take a contrarian perspective, but a really strong reason that we win clients in a print capabilities way, so we'll produce print brochures and things like that, has fundamentally been that they will pay us to produce the design, and then
PowerPoint.
It's in PowerPoint,
yes.
And then it's theirs forever to edit as much as they want. And they will kill it, and they will destroy it, and we know that.
Yeah.
And I think deep down they know that, and they will come back, but fundamentally they like
it's control.
I think
it's
we've control. But I think the world has changed, and I think it's become a really, I'm sorry, I'm about to rant. I think it's become a really a fundamental part of how we consume information. We have clients that say our credentials documents, if they're not 3 months old or less, they're too old. And so they need to continually update information. And that's social media happening. That's so much information going on in our world nowadays that instead of, in you know, even back 5 years, companies would produce one print document and there would be a print deadline. And if you missed that print deadline, you did not get your information in. And there used to be deadlines that were specific. But with PowerPoint, things become live documents. And it's that live documentation style that people like to hand over and pass and change and work around, especially in corporations, that's why they're using PowerPoint. Yes. So I firmly believe corporations started using PowerPoint for documentation way before designers went, oh, you're using PowerPoint for documentation. We should design that so it looks beautiful.
I also design Word documents. And they do the exact same thing. And let me tell you, they will muck up a Word document 10 times worse than a PowerPoint.
It's pretty easy to do.
Yeah. I can muck up a Word document in about 20 minutes.
I'm not going to use tabs.
Are you an expert at Word? Everybody's like, sure I am. No, you're not.
I'm an expert at using a keyboard.
Okay, hold on. We had a new person join the table. So I'd like Chantel to introduce herself. So it's your name. Your company and where you came in from, where you're based.
Okay.
We got to talk into the mic.
So my name is Chantal Bosset and my company is Chabas. I've been doing presentation design and speaker coaching for 13 years now. And I come from a small town called Sheffield. It's about an hour away from Montreal in Quebec, Canada.
And you are more than welcome here. Thank you. So we're having just a rambling PowerPoint presentation discussion.
I figured that one out.
Currently we're talking, hold on, what are we currently saying? We're currently talking about, documentation, is what's a pain point or something you find is a shortcoming in PowerPoint for editing and designing? Like, or something you wish was there or could be better? Or okay, Echo,
go ahead,
fill in.
I'll do one while Chantel's thinking. How's that?
Great.
My big pain point is rolling out templates. They are so difficult in a corporate situation. It's really hard to get your corporate templates into the hands of your corporate users.
Give an example of one. I mean, I could come up with probably three dozen reasons.
Yeah,
give me one pain point of rolling out a template.
One pain point of rolling out a template. It's very difficult to get your corporate template to be the default template on the splash screen. When I open PowerPoint, that's all I need.
Let me tell you partly why that is. Because IT departments aren't competent in office group policies.
GPO, yeah. Right. They don't know GPO. Your contact doesn't feel confident
in asking the IT department to push it out. When you mention that, yes, it can be pushed out corporately. Let's try to do this. They're scared to death to talk to their IT people about it.
I was going to add the pain there of coordinating chart templates.
Oh my God, that's a whole even. That's a whole other level.
That's just a document level.
God, that's just
That's rarely going to happen corporate wide.
Yeah. Well, and because we don't have chart styles, so we rely on chart templates, and rolling out chart templates is damn near impossible. And it has to be local; it can't be on a server. And blah 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 blah. And if you have more than one corporate template, you're screwed.
You're buying into the
difficulty.
It's a solution.
There's no. I mean, there needs to be a solution. Yeah. That's my pain point. Huge pain point.
Huge pain point.
Huge pain point.
Multifaceted.
Oh, we covered so many problems.
The charts now also is some of them are legacy charts, mm-hmm. and some of them are the new Ivy charts, and they don't behave the same.
But they work at least from the same data set. You can at least have the same Excel file and say, make this into a chart.
I wish this were a video so we had a picture of what it says.
Same rules? I just got shut down visually. You are wrong.
Okay. You're talking about Excel, just having all those versions of Excel. I've had to work recently. They said, make those charts look good. They weren't even coming from the same Excel versions. It was hell. So although I do like all the new things we have with new functionalities and the ongoing improvements, now that we have so many versions, the customers, the clients, they're clueless about that.
Well, and also if you, the backwards compatibility too, you do something in an Ivy chart and you pass it back to somebody, they get a picture of it.
Right. That, yes, the ping image thing is huge.
So I have one feature that is in Word and Outlook that I would love to see come to PowerPoint, and that is the read aloud feature. Have you guys played with that?
Mm-hmm.
It is quite amazing. Well, basically, it's an accessibility feature, and in Word, you click a button on, I believe it's on the review tab. Yeah, it's on the review tab. You click a button, read aloud, and it will read the text to you, and it sounds so natural. So, you know, a lot of people know I'm a chronic migraine sufferer, and sometimes just staring at a screen will trigger a migraine for me.
And that so monotone voice just, eases the migraine.
I know. I will just close my eyes and click that read aloud button and just listen to the text. And I would love to be able to do that sometime with like my PowerPoint decks from professors who just shove so much text onto those PowerPoint decks and just like listen to them. Cause you know, a lot of people will use PowerPoint as like their notes. Yeah, their documents. Like their docu-slides. Yeah.
Read the automatically generated alt text.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wood grain.
So I would love to see that feature come to PowerPoint in some capacity.
Have you played with the translation options?
I've played with it very minimally.
It's awesome to do in PowerPoint because PowerPoint isn't a, I guess I'll say linear. You know, it's not like Word document. You start at the top and you go to the bottom. PowerPoint can have a box of text here and a box of text here, and it's really awesome. I can see the read aloud, like getting them mixed up. Like, you know, it's going to read about the guy who died, but then it's going to tell you about his symptoms later.
Cause and effect can switch.
Yeah.
The translation does the same thing. I can see why it has a hard time because it doesn't know the order, which would be probably a cool thing.
But that's just a feature.
Yeah, well, you could tag them. This is I can tell you exactly where
that and this is the geek in me coming out because there are now digital comic books.
I know. I saw you reading on the plane.
Did you not? So I read about 12 books on the plane. And digital comics now you can, because not every device is as big as a piece of paper, will zoom from panel to panel. And they will also change the focus on the word balloon. So it is actually superior to reading the paper.
Does Prezi power those?
No. It does it a lot better than Prezi does. If you're reading an average comic book, you're often not sure which panel follows next or which word balloon precedes which. But they encode the digital version with the order.
Yes.
And so the viewer takes you directly through it. And that's just all that would have to happen.
Could apply to so many things.
That's there. That's already there.
No,
that's
it's automatically generated. You can't dictate which one's 1, 2, 3. At
least. Yes, you can.
Glenna just said it was Z order.
It's the Z order.
Well, Z order.
It reads from the bottom.
That's great, unless you need to use Z order for a visual.
Well, then you got a problem.
So what I do,
I put a text box off to the side that says, don't pay attention to anything else
auto read.
Read that out. Don't pay attention to anything after this.
Read that.
wood grain.
But you have it, you do it, you want it to read that first because you're telling whoever's using low vision or reading, I'm having to compensate for a visual something.
This is an evil, dirty little secret about PowerPoint development and other applications, but I'll just focus on PowerPoint. A lot of functionality that is in the product is built on other functionality that has no concept of what the secondary functionality is. That is a good example of using Z order for things like tabbing order and other things is just taking advantage of a feature that was already in the file format and not having to extend the file format for a new feature. An even bigger one that you will all go, oh yeah, is the idea of having text that is on the notes page and also in the notes panel beneath the slide, because one is typically used for in the presenter view to tell you what you're saying next, and the other is for your printed output, and they're often not supposed to be the same thing. Mm-hmm. But it's pointing to the same bit of data in the file format, so you have to choose how you're going to use it one way or the other. You can't compose for both.
Oh, I thought you were going to give us a secret of how to make it work in both scenarios.
No, I'm not. No,
so you're such a tease.
I have a secret.
I have a secret you could do.
Yes.
You cover the notes.
Move it off.
You
the
cover
side.
The notes with another text box, or move it off of the notes page so that the speaker notes underneath the editing view would be your spoken word, and in the notes pane,
you would have
your own custom document notes.
That's a good hack.
Yeah, Julie Turberg, fixer of problems.
I don't know.
I said it?
Well, you said it. How does that print?
You print.
I can see it. It'll only print the top covered one.
Yeah.
You're hiding the other.
The one, the text that was tied to the notes master is going to show up underneath the slide in editing mode. But you would have a...
Which add-in is that?
It's one that Steve Rinsberg has on pptools.com.
Steve Rinsberg at ptools.com.
So I have a sub-question that's really relevant to the roundtable.
Based on what Rick was just saying, that a lot of the functionality is based on non-knowledge of other functionality parts. What percentages of your role are design and what are problem solving?
Well, wait, you forgot the important role of therapist.
Yeah.
Sage, guide of knowledge.
Now you're getting into numbers bigger than 100%.
Okay, you say design and problem solving?
Yeah. So if I were to take a graphic designer that did print layouts in InDesign, they would say a very minimal amount of what they do is problem solving, how to get what they need.
Okay. Get the right information they need.
Get the right result.
Mine is 100% problem solving.
Yeah.
Because you can design once you've solved a problem, right?
Well, but people come to me to build their templates when they don't work, when they're already screwed up. And so I get them at that point. Like, I'm the next level. And so I'm problem solving all the time.
You're the escalated support.
I'm the escalated support. I'm the one who has to figure out how to make it work. Or I at least have the knowledge to tell them, no, that's not going to work. You're asking too much of PowerPoint. You can't make that work. Not without add-ins or this or that or the other. They needed someone in authority to be able to tell them that.
I spend about 20% of my time talking her off the ledge.
Therapist.
And then about maybe 50% of the time with design, and the rest is definitely problem solving.
Do you consider strategic consultation and all that problem solving?
No, I mean in a technical sense. In a sense of, you know what you want to see on a slide. You know the way you want it to work. You know the way you want it to lay out.
100%, but pretty damn close.
So we're often explaining the limitations of the medium. In other words, these are things that are, this is the possibility and the solution we can provide within PowerPoint today. And here's your request. Are you okay with this solution? Is that kind of in line with what you're thinking?
Yeah, pretty similar. I guess it's that middle ground between saying no and knowing that it is possible, but would take an age in PowerPoint.
Got it.
I would say only 20% of mine is troubleshooting then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe I get easy projects.
I was going to go with what you were originally saying, Sandy, though a lot of times there'll be 7 presenters at a meeting, and mm-hmm. we as the designers are often the only entity that sees all 7 presentations.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we, you know, I use this example as we'll go to the CEO and say, hey, just so you know, your 3 sales directors are saying, you know, $1.3 billion, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you say $1.8 billion. Mm-hmm. Somebody should probably reconcile the fact that there's a 0.5 difference in here. Usually they get together for those final reviews, and it's, you know, but we're the first line of information flow. So I think there's 2 types, the technical type, which is, I think, huge because there are technical limitations.
Yeah. If you pull in what you're saying, then I would say I'm 50-50.
Oh.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So my problems are less PowerPoint and more PowerPoint and Excel working together.
Isn't that a lot more problem solving, though?
Well, I wouldn't call it problem solving. I'd call it workaround. But
I feel like we're skinning the cat in a very similar way.
But I will tell you, I actually have two presentations that are entirely in Excel, faked to look like presentations.
I want to see that.
Yeah.
Totally want to see that.
They look like... We'll peel away one day
and I'll get a peek. I also find that it depends upon how early I get involved. That's my role. So if I get involved early, I'm less of a problem solver because I'm setting expectations, managing expectations. Whereas if I get involved late when they're like, here, make this happen, I'm like, whoa, whoa, you just asked me to.
Yes, but that will cost you $5 million.
On a floating iPad Pro. It's got to be Prezi, but in PowerPoint. Talk crazy talk.
Yeah, first, you get them to adjust their medication.
Yeah, exactly.
And that will cost you $5 million.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this costs money? Oh, never mind. Just give me bullets.
Call me $1 billion.
But can you do it in 3 days? Because I need it turned around quickly.
That's a problem that needs solving, really.
That's awesome.
The technical part. Another thing that I'm also bringing back the versions. I want you to do this. Your version doesn't do it. They're still in PowerPoint 2010.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. You either do it the ordinary way or you change your software. And then they're stuck with the choice. I always say I put the monkey back on their shoulders and they have to decide what they want. Yeah. That's it.
Better than a parrot.
They do.
I think Lori could speak to this one. You can do things with morph nice and streamlined, or you could have to revert to using animations,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Motion pass, spin combinations, and one you can get done in 2 hours.
And then
you really regret
how much fun you had in morph.
Yeah,
exactly. Or
but
you
also,
can come to my session.
It costs you this much in morph, and it costs you this much if I have to do it.
Oh yeah.
There's definitely.
Was that not fundamentally though a lot of designers problem solving, and then Microsoft going, a lot of designers are doing this.
Right.
We should solve that problem fundamentally across the board.
I think somebody needed something cool to present.
Yes.
And they went, I think it was a project.
Wasn't there a thing they got together to do?
Morph is not new.
There was
the
a fair amount of inspiration
software.
There coming out of Keynote and other things. But I think Microsoft actually did one up on Keynote's implementation.
Oh, I think it's an improvement.
So. Absolutely.
I disagree.
It depends on the situation, but I don't find many where I find...
Sorry, I'm such a potster. I'm sorry.
You're in your own little world down there underground.
We're such a different world.
You can disagree, and then you can explain your disagreement.
I disagree in so much as Keynote's version allows you to use transitions with a morph feature, whereas morph will only give you a fade and a movement.
Yeah.
Keynote will let you push a slide across whilst... things are morphing, which gives you a little bit more more dynamic movement.
True.
And I think they've ever so slightly won out on that.
Having left the team and knowing how resistant they were to certain ways to implement features within the product, the idea that the slide boundary of information has become like...
more fluid?
Yeah, these two slides are now part of the same image.
Yep.
Really, whereas before it'd be like all the animation happens on this one slide, even though it's only a conceptual thing, it's an extrapolation of transitions now. But when you look at that from the standpoint of what it does to printing, and that would be where that in my day and on PowerPoint, that would be where the conversation stopped. They're going to say, how does this print? How does this affect printing? You can't answer that. Boom, it's out of there.
But who prints anymore?
about 30% of our work is print-based.
Everyone
PowerPoint. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Every magazine. Print is dead, except for the 40% of our business.
Yeah.
And would you arguably call a print document the same as a PDF these days?
Well, you can't really take a folder, open it up, and pull out a PDF. I mean, a real-world manila folder.
But the effect of a double-page spread in a portrait format on a letterhead page in a double-page spread has a gravitas that echoes back to being a printed document. And so the double page spread style is really important in being able to save out a PowerPoint if you're working in a portrait style.
Do you find that when you're talking, we call it a print document in mm-hmm. our team, but do you find that you, when they say we need a print piece, we qualify, is this going to be printed or is it going to be distributed PDF?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that gives you whether you need crops and bleeds, whether you need sort of a whole series of different things.
You're probably not going to use PowerPoint then for that, right?
Oh, we absolutely use PowerPoint for that.
Sure. When you, for offset printing, you would use PowerPoint for
offset
printing?
Yeah, we have
100%. There's another reason why.
100%.
Wow.
Before Chantal came in and I didn't want to say anything. The other reason why our clients are asking for everything in PowerPoint is because they're learning the best practice of tailoring their message for their customer. Mm-hmm. And every customer is not the same. So if I'm going into one client A, if I'm going into the Navy, I'm going to have one message. If I'm going into, let's say, Home Depot. Media.
Yeah. And offset printing has really dropped off into a digital printing scape because of that.
How can you do 4-color separation with PowerPoint?
You can't.
No.
That was where I was going.
Yeah, they're printing in-house.
Okay.
They have nice
printers. Less offset. I mean, the PDF capabilities, once you've PDF'd, you can draw out the PDF, the color systems
in
PDF.
The printer is going to fight about it because I've had printers say.
So we've had to work with printers in Australia to convince
Julie
them.
Julie is shaking her head vigorously.
On methodologies.
Negative.
Thank you, Heather.
I tell our clients there's no color fidelity in PowerPoint. You're going to get the closest approximation.
That's a great statement. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. Yeah, that's good.
That's my technical limitation that PowerPoint has. PowerPoint should have a CMYK.
Right, you're starting with technical.
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to loop all the way back.
Okay, go for it, Glenn.
Yeah. Proof of this. I swear to God, this true story. Recently, I saw on the back of the ladies' restroom door, it said, please stay hydrated. And if your pee is this color, you're not hydrated. And it went to the other end. And if your pee is this color, but the color was so washed out. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, wow, that's really wrong.
Was it washed out because someone has used the sign the wrong way?
Somebody redirect. New topic.
They printed it in-house and they needed new toner.
Okay. This is your peer group, people. Okay, the other half of that was not the technical side, but presenters, whether you're presenting or you have a presenter, what is something they experience or have a difficulty with that could be improved?
I have one.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, presenter view, having the next slide on top of the notes is just plain confusing for everyone.
So the layout.
Layout of the presenter view. Yeah. You should have actual slides and notes. And the next one, we can resize it, but don't put the notes just beneath the next slide.
Right.
Most of the presenters have a hard time with that. And that's why I have a hard time convincing some organizers to use the presenter view. Oh, it's so complicated for presenters, and I get a really hard time with that.
You know, you just brought up something that I've been wanting to do with my speaker notes, and that's add color.
Yeah, that's
I want to be able to add color and bolding and styles.
Yes.
And edit.
Yes.
Edit. That would be
Wait,
cool.
What do you mean by edit?
Edit in the view.
My notes in the view.
Thank God. Yes.
This is actually something that Keynote does very well. Their presenter view allows you to treat each of those things as components that you can lay out on the screen where you want them. Yeah. Or not show them if you don't want them.
And they do a really cool job of handing multiple monitors.
Yeah.
And options to go to which monitor, which you want. Yeah. You want a teleprompter view only, text only? You can do that to the external monitor, but you're behind the stage monitor. You can have the full presenter view look, which is not called presenter view in Keynote.
Have you played with the Apple Watch? Like,
you mean as a remote for the?
Well, yeah, like as the remote for, well, as for PowerPoint.
I've just started playing with the Surface Pen as a remote. And it's tricky.
Oh, the one, the click, the.
Wait, you got it?
Yeah.
The new one, huh?
The Surface Pen.
But he's from Australia. Right. Get things ahead
They're a little ahead of us.
Yeah.
Like a date. That means we get it tomorrow.
Tomorrow, look out.
We're told it's coming.
No, you can you can click a pen to create a click.
Right.
So wait, back to Heather. I actually don't know this. So you're saying you can use an Apple Watch as a remote?
I thought you could. Did I dream that? I do that sometimes.
I could have sworn I saw you in a video doing that.
I know you can control your phone and like the camera shutter with your watch.
You know, sometimes I dream up features. I could be dreaming. I really don't know.
That's a great idea.
Hold on.
I'm looking. What I want to do. Well, I can't. Half that stuff I don't know. It's nice being the dumbest guy in the room. What I like to do is be able to present without a clicker or without anything. If I'm impromptu in a conference room and they're showing a PowerPoint and I'm I'll stand. Oh, can you advance the slide for me? Or I don't have a clicker. I want to do it by voice. We do everything by voice now. Alexa, Cortana, Siri, next slide. Just simply saying next slide, or being even more complicated would be to be able to program it when I say something, advance it. That's next generation. But I'd love to be able to do it without a clicker.
MVP. Well, he was an MVP in the office. Yeah, he was an office system MVP a while ago. He did that with the Xbox.
Yes, no, that's Xbox. What I was going to say. Yeah. The Xbox.
Connect.
Yes.
Yeah. The Kinect.
Kinect.
The Kinect used to have a bunch of positioning stuff to control it, and you could extend it through the...
Yeah, he was one of the first MVPs to play with that when that came out, and he actually did that at the MCT Summit a while ago. He did the presentation.
At the MVP Summit, they've done...
Is
that Michael?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Michael did that, yeah.
It was really cool.
The only problem with it, that's an expensive bit of equipment.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It's like just add an Xbox and a Kinect to your presentation.
Oh, it's not even like the regular Kinect. It's the developer one. No. Yeah.
Well, that's why the voice thing works, because everyone's got one.
Okay, so we got to actually come up with a wrap-up point here. I know we could talk for quite a while. I appreciate everybody joining around here. I'm going to have a lot of fun. I think I'm just going to post this. This is it. We're just going to do audio balancing. It's done. But thank you, everybody. We're going to have a great few days here at the Presentation Summit. And Lori and I, this is the first night, by the way, for everybody listening in. The summit hasn't actually officially started yet. This is just the group that has come in early. So we're saying hello to Nolan, who is flying in tomorrow.
Hi, Nolan!
And I'm sure we'll have a few other little conversations and a lot of great stuff to come up. Okay, because I'm surrounded by a bunch of people that will actually be presenting at the Presentation Summit, just quickly give us your name and what your sessions, because some of you are doing multiples, are, because it's great interest to everybody, and we'll call that our wrap-up.
I am doing speed.
Who are you?
My name is Tom Howell. I'm doing speed menu making, which is an interactive session, and stories through animation, which is an animated PowerPoint session.
And Tom is also one of my presenters. I'm Rick Brettsnyder, and I'm doing a session on Pachacacha, the format used where your presentation is composed of 20 slides. Every slide advances automatically after 20 seconds. I could talk about it for an hour, but I won't. But Tom is one of my presenters.
Hey, Doug, that's your idea. Presentations just auto advance.
That's true. Yeah, mm-hmm. You just have to practice more. I'm also the founder of the Late Night Guru session, which is everybody gather after dinner. But this year, Rick has decided to co-opt it into like a bunch of late night sessions. I get to be the latest night. So I'm the Conan O'Brien of the late night sessions.
Looks like we'll have bottles of wine left.
Terrific. It's Monday night. And then Monday morning, I'm doing bulletproofing your presentation, which is all about all the things that can go wrong while you're presenting and how to prevent them. And then I'm doing another one on mobile presenting, which is a lot of presenting on mobile devices, iPad, Android, tablets, and phones, and a lot of hands-on demos of wireless presenting. Echo.
I can't remember what all I'm doing.
Awesome stuff.
I'm Echo Swinford. I'm doing 5 sessions.
Winner.
I know.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Yep.
Too bad I don't eat meat.
You're doing 5 sessions. I'm showing up just to be here and say hi to everybody.
Feels so good.
Okay, so Julie and I are doing the template workshop. I'm not sure what order or how long. I know I'm doing 2 Tapas sessions. One is on Stellar Speaker Ready.
Explain Tapas.
They're 20-minute sessions. So I'm doing 2 20-minute sessions. One is on Stellar Speaker Ready, and one is Background styles. And then I'm doing XML. I'm doing an XML class and something else.
Spell speaker. I read your
designing instructions. User instructions.
Nice. Your Stellar Speaker Ready was really an interesting one. Can you explain that a little bit?
Oh God, no! Because then the session will be over.
No. This is going to post next week after the session. Always getting a preview. Just so everybody knows.
No, we do this. Lori, Troy, when we're on site and we're supporting clients, we do a speaker ready room where they can go to get all their stuff done, get their changes made, get their stuff finalized, just, you know. So what is it? What do you do? It's mostly about planting the seed of what is, once they know, once they hear it, it's like, oh yeah, that's really all it is. Your turn.
Julie Terberg, and I'm doing 4 sessions this year. Templates workshop tomorrow with Echo Swinford. And I don't know how many years we've been doing this together, but it's been quite a few. And
people keep coming back.
It is worth the price of admission. It is
because templates are a pain in the patootie, and there's a lot of stuff that you need to know.
Oh, no. Thanks. We have cheerleaders. Awesome.
Yay. Anyway, and then Monday I am doing another makeover session, which cannot be possible without patron submissions of templates. I'm sorry.
Put on the brain.
Patron submissions of presentations that we then pick a few and make them over. And Tuesday I'm doing a session called Just My Type. And Just My Type is all about typography for presentations and how to make it better, how to make your text look better. Wednesday, I am also joining Rick and Tom and a few others for Pikachu. And I am repeating a session I did a few years ago that a lot of folks haven't heard, so I'll...
I'm Doug Thomas. I'm doing 8 less sessions than Echo and Julie. I don't like my title, The Authenticity Cookbook. Simple ways to get creative ideas to kind of unlock a lot of different things with trying to get out the gobbledygook, like getting rid of jargon, things like that. I had a couple ideas and Rick said, what else do you have? And so within 24 hours, I came up with this. So I'm presenting that on Tuesday.
Cool. Mike Parkinson doing 3. One is PowerPoint infographics, high-end stuff. It's going to look like you did it in Adobe Illustrator. Number 2 is going to be top 3 ways to engage the audience, which is awesome. Number three, too many numbers. I'm freaking out, man. Game over.
8.
So 3, that's right. 3 is super simple slide design, and it's basically how to create amazing slides in very, very quickly without being addicted to crack cocaine.
Hi, Heather Ackman, and I'm delivering a tapas session, and I'm really nervous because I have way more material than will fit in 20 minutes.
5 minutes of mine.
The title of the session is Morph in the Movies. Ooh. And it is animation or more movie-like animation using Morph. Basically, all summer I've been experimenting with ways to break and stretch Morph to mimic animation scenes from the movies and television. So it's going to be a fun one. Yeah. I could not find... Well, basically, I created rules for myself to basically create as many assets as I could using only PowerPoint. Oh, wow. So I did not have the time or patience to create the Starship Enterprise or any of that in PowerPoint. But I did create... Well, I found that cartoons work best in PowerPoint, especially if you're creating them all from shapes. So I'm actually recreating scenes. I have children, very young children. I'm keeping it G-rated. So my kids are really into Thomas, the train, the tank engine. So there's this opening sequence from Misty Island Rescue. Where like the opening credits, and I created a lot of the scenes from those opening credits using Morph and animation, and I'm kind of playing around. Basically, I took like a lot of round-tripping techniques where I used Morph, round-tripped them by exporting it to video, and then animated over that.
I feel sorry for all the presentation professionals out there who aren't here this week, because this is the best lineup in years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always great, but this just going around the table here.
Yeah.
I know it.
Yeah,
I know it.
This is a small selection
this
of
is
the
a
presenting
small selection.
Team.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So many great topics.
Yeah, good stuff, guys. Yeah.
And by the time you hear this, it's too late to
go. Yeah. Sorry for you guys.
But next year.
Okay, everybody, thank you so much for gathering around, enjoying a little bit of beverages and time to talk, and I look forward to seeing everybody over the next few days here.
Thank you, Troy.
Thank you.
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.